Good morning and welcome to Faith Unscripted, a weekly program devoted to all things spiritual. Faith Unscripted is hosted by the Reverend Richard Hasselback, pastor of the historic Clarkstown Reformed Church. You are all cordially invited to come worship at the Clarkstown Reformed Church every Sunday morning at 10:30, the church at 107 Strawtown Road in West Nyack. If you'd like to call Pastor Rich, our phone number is 845-429-1700. That number again, 845-429-1700. And good morning and a belated happy birthday,
well,
Pastor.
Thank you very much. It's not belated. Today is the blessed event.
Is it?
Yes,
then?
I'm 39 again this
year. I never know these things.
Yeah.
39, right?
39 again.
Yes. Is that base one math?
Jack, Benny, and I were born on the same day and almost the same year. So thank you very much, and I think do we have a caller already?
Hi, Pastor Rich. It's Anna calling.
Anna, how are you? Thanks for giving us a call.
Happy birthday. I had
thank
a great
you.
Time at your party and stuff. I hope you enjoyed all your gifts and stuff.
Thank you very much. What Anna's referring to is the wonderful people at my church threw a surprise birthday party
That's
for
it.
Me
That's
after
what
our
I'm
service
saying.
At 10:30.
I really enjoyed it. I really had a great time and stuff and meeting everybody and being with everybody, and I really had a good time. And hope you enjoyed your gifts and stuff.
It was everybody was very kind, and I enjoyed the entire thing. One of the great things that happened at this little party, and it was a complete surprise. I was taken.
That's it. We tried to keep it a surprise for
and
you,
and it worked.
We tried.
But the kids who the Irish dance school
they,
that meets
they were
at,
beautiful.
Weren't they beautiful?
Were great. Everything was great about it. Enjoyed every bit of it.
Yeah, that's Ellen Reardon's Schola Rinser Reardon, if I might be pronouncing that wrong.
Uh-huh.
But she's a wonderful Irish dance teacher. She teaches right at the church at 107 Strawtown Road.
Uh-huh.
Five of her young dancers came and they did
beautiful.
A demonstration.
They
Weren't
beautiful.
They gorgeous? Yeah.
They were beautiful.
It's amazing they can dance that
and
beautifully.
Stuff like that. And I'm going to say happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Rich. Happy birthday to you. So you say that you could join your choir. What do you think?
Well, John Anthony, our choir master, says that anybody who can talk, can breathe, can sing. So maybe he's right, but you could prove him wrong.
All right. Enjoy your birthday. Take
Thanks,
care.
Sweetie, and God bless
Bye-bye.
You.
Thank you for everything.
And we have another caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Pastor Rich.
Hello, Pastor Rich. This is Bill Flynn. And I
Bill
also
Flynn, how are you?
Happy birthday. I'm
Thank
fine.
You very
I'm
much.
Fine. And I'm so glad that you enjoyed the dancers. And I wanted to make a plug for our square dance, which is starting next Sunday, and to continue the fellowship that we have within our church. Just to extend it a little further, we're going to do the square dance class. We're going to teach everybody how to have a fun time, and it's going to be a continuation of our celebration of being with each other.
So, and thanks for calling, Bill, and thanks for reminding us that we are we're a church that's on its toes. We have square dancing there. We're having a Mother's Day dance coming up the Saturday before Mother's Day. So put that on your calendar if you're looking for a fun thing to do. The fellowship at the Clarkstown Reformed Church is just amazing. So I've been associated with many churches in my time, and this is one of the most exceptional churches that I've ever been with, because the people are so loving, so kind, so accepting, and really they care about each other. So thank you for being one of those people, Bill, and thanks for bringing square dancing to the church.
You're very welcome. Okay. It was an inspiration for me, too, by the Lord. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and God bless you. And we're blessed with a lot of calls today. This is a great thing. I think we're getting another one. Are we getting another one? No, we lost it. If you just tried to call us, keep trying.
Good morning, Hello? Caller. You're on the air with Pastor Rich.
Yeah, good morning. This is Father Clem.
How are you?
Pastor Rich, I first of all, I was pleasantly surprised here that it's your birthday. I mean, happy birthday to you. I hope this is a year of health. More wisdom, because you share that wisdom obviously with all your listeners, and I being one of them. And I just thank you for taking. I wanted to call in and thank you for taking Anna in to your home, your spiritual home, your home that you offer to everybody out there. I hear the joy and sheer happiness in her voice, and a lot of times I don't hear that, whether she calls to my show or other shows. But, you know, once again, you are proving what God can do when he works through people, when he works through a structure. You have given this lady a place to consider home, friends, just something to look forward to. And I tell you, that speaks volumes, not just of you, but of what, your show, you know, the power that it has. And if we, you know, this is, if we can just impact one person, it's a win. We've won. And I know that there's other people out there, you know, just a gentleman, when he calls up about the square dancing, I believe he lost his wife, and he basically lost his reason for living. And you've given him an opportunity that every time I hear him call, it breathes through the phone, his happiness, his joy, and that comes from the Clarkstown Reformed Church and yourself. So I just, once again, see, I do this in my show, but in a weird way, you know, like I do positive stuff and I impact people, but I do it in Clem's way, in Clemville, in Clem's world, and sometimes people don't get it, but...
Well, you're Clemazing.
Thank you. And I do appreciate those words. But again, I just want to personally tell you, and you don't need to hear it from me, because God conveys it to you. What you're doing is just fantastic. And keep up the great work, and not just on the radio here on RCR, but also through Clarkstown Reformed Church and every other place that you go to where you do certain things. So all the love, Pastor Rich, and a very, very happy birthday. I'll be giving you a shout-out today, my friend.
Father Clem, thank you so much. And just I want to reinforce what Clem says. We are so blessed to have Anna as a part of our church now, and she's been coming every week. And we are blessed by her presence. So she has found a place where she is genuinely loved and welcomed and valued as the wonderful person that she is. So thanks.
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, happy birthday.
Baruch Hashem, right back to you. Thank you very much.
Well, Pastor, we have another caller. Good morning. You're on the air with Pastor Rich.
Well, good morning, Pastor Rich. Hi, Vince.
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
Laura, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
It's good to hear.
I would jump on bandwagon with everybody. You weren't planning on having a serious show today now, were you?
I sort of was. Well, this is okay, too.
Have to put that off for next week.
Okay. Well, thanks.
I want to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
And I'm glad that you were surprised with the party on Sunday.
I would, yeah, and Laura and her husband Jeff are also members of our church, and there was a surprise party, as you if you've been listening for the whole show, you now know, and it was complete. I was completely flabbergasted. As a matter of fact, we have sliding doors in the back of the church, great big things, and they were slid shut. And one of the women in the church who was doing a reading was scurried back into the back room. And I'm thinking to myself, what the heck is she going in the back? She's got to be ready for a reading. I'm getting a little crabby. And she was setting up for the party. So I was completely surprised and overwhelmed by the kindness of this wonderful church.
You were getting crabby? Really?
A little bit, yeah.
They say that happens when you get older. Is that true?
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you when I get older.
Good answer.
Well, Lord, thanks for calling, and best to Jeff. Is he out on the roads right now?
He is.
Well,
he's probably listening, if he's possible.
If he's listening, then let me give a shout-out to Jeff, one of our wonderful church members who's the wheels of Rockland County. Or is it? So thanks a million.
Well, you're very welcome, and I will see you soon.
God bless you.
All righty. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Bye now. And now, let me just do two things. First, and let's move to a serious note. Right now at St. Patrick's Cathedral, Wilbert Mora is being waked before his funeral tomorrow. He's one of the two cops who were shot, the other being Jason Rivera, who who had his funeral mass at St. Patrick's earlier, well, last week, I guess, late last week. And I just want to spend a moment remembering them and giving thanks for their service, because as the Lord says, greater love than this has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. And what these two young men did, and they were young, both in their 20s,
yeah,
is they laid down their life for their friends in the community. They laid down their life because they had dedicated their life to keeping others safe. So I want to spend just a moment thanking them and praying for them and their families, and reflecting on all the men and women who leave their homes every day ready to risk their lives for others. Those are the cops. Those are the firefighters. Those are the emergency workers who are standing, a force standing ready to protect us. Mm-hmm. And we don't often enough stop to give them thanks. And we certainly don't pray for them enough.
No.
So let me, for Jason Rivera, for Wilbert Mora, for their families, let's pray. Creator God, you are the author of the universe. You are the one that sustains life. You're the one that gives life in the first place. And to you, all life returns. We give you thanks for Jason and for Wilbert, and for their generosity of spirit that led them to give their last full measure of devotion. We ask you to lift the sadness from their families, or walk with them. Let them know that you're with them as they go through the dark valley, the valley where death's shadow casts its gloom, because you are with them even there to sustain them. And it's only because of you that they can move through that dark valley to a place where you will indeed set a banquet before them. So, Father God, we thank you for these men. We thank you for their families. We ask you to lift the grief of that family, of those families, and give us grateful hearts to appreciate these two men, and with them give us grateful hearts to appreciate all the other men and women who serve us in our communities. Lord, keep them safe, protect them from all harm, build a fence around them, a hedge of protection, so that they will be kept safe and they too will be able to return to their families and live full, beautiful lives. We ask all of this in Jesus' name and through the power of the Spirit with you there, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, and with that prayer, I just want to also remind everyone who's listening to us that the police are not enemies of the people. We have been divided by scurrilous evil people into thinking that the police are out there gunning down innocent people. This is not true. Have there been bad cops? Sure. But by and large, the bad guys are the ones who are afraid of the cops. And when you hear things that lead you to believe that the police should be feared and hated and not appreciated and respected, then you know you're listening to the voice of evil. So please, don't let anyone divide us over something as simple as policing in our community. As long as there's sin and crime, we will need police. We will need brave people who have the courage to run to problems when the rest of us are running in the other direction. These are the people who have courage and generosity of spirit, and we should never demean them or allow them to be demeaned. And when you hear the voices of jerks in our community, voices of hatred, the cynical voices of the politically expedient. Do not listen to them. Do not follow them. And given the chance, do not vote for them. Because we need our police to be respected. We need law enforcement to be respected. And we need to appreciate and not demean those who are willing to sacrifice everything to keep us safe. Amen.
Amen.
And Vince has brought a meditation from the book Jesus Speaking, right? Jesus Calling by
Sarah Young.
Sarah Young. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful book full of meditations for every day of the year.
Right.
And Vince thought it would be a good idea to read today's meditation, and would you please do that? And again, this is Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. You can buy this book in on Amazon or in any good bookstore.
Still.
And it's really a wonderful read. I read it myself.
It is for anyone who's having a rough go of it right now, which I'm pretty sure is all of us, and for my special friend with a Y. This is for you, this devotional. Follow me one step at a time. That is all I require of you. In fact, that is the only way to move through this space-time world. You see huge mountains looming, and you start wondering how you're going to scale those heights. Meanwhile, because you're not looking where you're going, you stumble on the easy path where I am leading you now. As I help you get back on your feet, you tell me how worried you are about the cliffs up ahead. But you don't know what will happen today, much less tomorrow. Our path may take an abrupt turn, leading you away from those mountains. There may be an easier way up the mountains than is visible from this distance. If I do lead you up the cliffs, I will equip you thoroughly for that strenuous climb. I will even give my angels charge over you to preserve you in all your ways. Keep your mind on the present journey, enjoying my presence. Walk by faith, not by sight, trusting me to open up the way before you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. So that's from the book Jesus Calling. It's a reflection on Psalm 18:29, and Psalm 91:11-12, and 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. So if you that of course Sarah Young writes in the voice of Jesus and says, look, follow me one step at a time, and that's really the only way we can do it. I had a wonderful conversation with one of the folks from the church today, or yesterday, pardon me. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we talked about is presence. It's living in the present moment, because the present moment is the only time we ever get to live in. So when you think of it, the past is just the present that we've used up. And we can think back about the past, and if our mind lives in the past, it draws us away from what? From the time that we're living now. Because the only time we live is now. Yesterday is a memory. Tomorrow is a possibility. But all of the future is just time, the present that we haven't received yet. So we can anticipate all of that future present time, but we can't live in it. So we can spend a lot of time spinning our wheels about what we can do next week, next month, next year, tonight. But the moment that we live in is the moment that we have right now. So right now, what is the right now that we're living in? Well, right now, for me, is looking at a microphone and Vince and having earphones on and seeing Will across the studio and realizing that somehow in this place, God is breaking into my life. And how is he doing that? Well, he's doing that, I think, by leading this conversation, because in a way, what I do on the radio is I let go of my thoughts. When we talk about this being radio, Faith Unscripted, holy crow, is it ever unscripted?
Yes, it is.
so I could walk into the studio and I haven't the vaguest idea. Well, I have a little idea what topics I might want to touch on, but I haven't planned anything out. because I leave that to God. The book of the letter of James says, if you pray to the Lord for wisdom, he will give it to you. That there's no doubt in this, right? It's not if you pray to the Lord for wisdom, he might give it to you. It's he will give it to you. Well, I rely on that promise. I rely on that promise when I preach on Sundays. I rely on that promise when I counsel people in my office. I rely on that promise when I speak with you on the radio. Lord, I before every show, Lord, give me wisdom today. Let me say the right thing so that at least one person will be touched. You know, Father Clem said it so beautifully. If one person is touched, you've done the right thing. You've made a difference. There's a Jewish proverb: to save one person is to save the world. And it is, and each one of us gets that opportunity every day of our lives. But when does that opportunity come? It comes in the present moment. If I were to sit in front of this microphone and think about my 401k, which is meager, or if I were to think of what I want to have for dinner tonight, and I'd like it to be a good one, I'm distracting myself from what I'm doing, because what I'm doing has nothing to do with my 401k or my dinner tonight. What I'm doing is I'm communicating with you, our beloved listeners, and we do love you. That's why we get on the radio every week. That's why I preach in the church every Sunday. That's why I do what I do. I could do a lot of other things. I'm an attorney. I could have been a contender. Oh, well. But I'm not. I'm just a humble minister at a little church. But I'm doing what I know God wants me to do, and I have to do it now. I can't do it yesterday. I had my chance yesterday, but this is my chance today. I'd like to do it tomorrow, but if I worry about tomorrow, I'm not with you now. Now is the moment that God gives me to make a difference, and to me, that difference is talking to you on the radio. Your difference might be to call in and say, you know, this is inspiring me, or I've had this experience, or that experience, or the other experience. You can reflect on who you are with us and bring your story, your wisdom, and your goodness to all of our listeners. There, whatever you are doing now, focus on it. Be present to it, because presence is what God asks of us. He asks us to live now. Concretely, what does that look like? Well, there are levels. The first level, I suppose, is to realize that you're okay right where you are. You may say to yourself, you might say, you know, I've made so many stinking mistakes in my life that I'm a mess. What can God do with me? Why would he even bother with me? I've had an abortion, or I've stolen money, or I've done things that I'm really ashamed of. I've neglected my elderly parents, and now they're gone, and I can't make things right. Whatever you are looking at in your past, all the brokenness, all the missed opportunities, all the sadness that you bring to who you are right now, I think what God is saying is, don't worry about it. You're the clay I've got to work with, and nothing else. I frequently reflect on the story in Exodus of the burning bush. So let me, for those of you who are not Exodus scholars, let me refresh your recollection. Moses is on the lam. Right, Moses, ultimately the great hero of the Jewish people, the prophet beyond all prophets. But at this point in his life, he's on the lam. He's killed an Egyptian. He's just coming to sort of a consciousness of himself as a Jew, as one of the Hebrews. He's seen an Egyptian beating another Hebrew, and he kills that guy, buries him, thinks he's not seen, but somebody did see him, and now he's on the running from his life from the Pharaoh, who would like to uh, to stick a noose around his neck, or worse. So Moses hightails it to the land of Midian, where his father-in-law, he gets married someplace along the line, his father-in-law Jethro has flocks. Jethro is a priest of Midian. And Moses is out tending the flocks. Tending the flock of sheep is not a fun thing to do. Sheep are lovely little animals. Jimmy, I've learned from you. They're lovely little animals. But it's not a high-paying or a high-status job to tend your father-in-law's sheep. The sheep can get a little boring, and so Moses is looking around for things to occupy his time, and he sees a bush that is burning but not being consumed. Now, to even notice that, you have to realize the level of boredom that Moses is bringing to this moment. But he sees it. And his only virtue at this point is curiosity. He goes over to look at it more carefully. And from the bush speaks the voice of God to him. This is the great moment. This is the beginning of the saving event, the exodus of the Jewish people. The Lord speaks to Moses from a burning bush. Who is Moses now? He's got a speech impediment. He's on the lam. He's got a crummy job. And he's murdered somebody. So not exactly the stuff of which Mother Teresa was made. Still, the voice from the bush says to him, "Moses, come no closer. The very ground upon which you stand is holy. Take off your shoes." Let's reflect on this a little bit. Moses, come no closer. You don't have to move a muscle. Right now, you're okay where you are, and you're okay who you are. You may not be perfect, but you're the person I want to work with. So take off your shoes, because the ground you stand on now is holy. That message is a message for each one of us in our now. We need to, in this moment, come no closer. Don't change. Don't change a thing. Just realize that God is saying to you, the ground upon which you stand is holy. What does it mean to stand on holy ground? The word holy means to be set apart. You are set apart. You are unique. Of all the people in the world, there is no one like you. Think about that. Billions of people. And there's only one you. There's only one person with your parents, with your experiences, with your education or lack thereof, with your skills or lack thereof. There's only one person who's traveled the journey that you've traveled through life. Nobody will ever do it again. You are uniquely situated for something. What is that something? I have no idea. But God does. So take off your shoes. Because who you are is holy. You are set apart for something. Moses was set apart for a mission. His mission was to go back and free his people, free God's people. You know, begin the great journey of the Jewish people towards freedom and towards God's promise and towards covenant, towards becoming God's chosen people, which will happen with Moses at Sinai. God is calling you to do something too. But it starts in this moment. It starts by taking off your shoes. Why take off your shoes? Well, you can't travel too far without shoes, can you? So maybe what God is saying is, if you want to know what the essence of your call is, take off your shoes, sit with me a while, and shut up and listen. So be ready for what the call in your life is. Is it going to be a big call? Will you set the Jewish people free? No, it's already been done. Will you be the savior of the world? Jesus did that too, so you don't have to do that. The pressure's off. But there is something that God wants of us every day. And it flows out of who we are now. You know, maybe he doesn't want much from you today. Maybe he wants you, though, when you go to the coffee shop to get coffee, to be kind to the kid who pours it for you, to say a good word, to say thank you, to make some observation. Boy, you look great today. To maybe take some interest in somebody. What type of work do you want to do in your life, or what do you value, or tell me something about yourself. If you take interest in somebody else, that's a good thing, because it means you're not spending all your time taking interest in yourself. Take off your shoes. Listen, be ready for God to call you in any given moment. Notice that Moses had to put his shoes back on because God did have a job for him. I want you to go back to Egypt. Go to Pharaoh. Tell him let my guys go free. And Moses said, "Holy crow! I can't do that. I'm not a good speaker." He's got a speech impediment. God says, "That's okay. I'll send you help. Your brother Aaron can be your mouthpiece." But you, I want you to do it. You with your speech impediment. You with your criminal record. You with all the baggage that you carry from a life of making mistakes. You're the one I choose. You're the clay in my hands, and I, not you, am the potter. So let me go to work. Be my person. It happens when you take off your shoes. Barrett Browning wrote a poem, or it's a part of a poem, Aurora Leigh. Earth's crammed with heaven. I'm going to get this slightly wrong. Earth's crammed with heaven, and every simple bush ablaze with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round it and pluck blackberries. So I think what I'm suggesting is we need to take off our shoes and not pluck blackberries. We need to be ready to hear the call of God. We need to be ready to see the earth which is crammed with heaven. And you see things only when you look for them. There's a great commercial on TV, but it's a guy looking for his glasses. And all the time, there he's got them up on sitting on above his head. And, you know, they're tucked above into his hair. And he's looking under the couch, and he's looking in the pillows. And he says to his wife, "Have you seen my glasses?" And she says, "Oh, they're somewhere." And all the while, she knows where they are, but he can't find them because he doesn't know where to look. Well, we don't find things unless we look. And even when we look, we sometimes don't look in the right places. So we have to be ready to let God surprise us. And God surprises us all the time if we're ready to be surprised. You know, sometimes we try to put God in the box. We say, "Well, okay, you know, I know what God wants. I know who God is. I know what God thinks." And if you say any of that stuff, you're dead wrong, because nobody knows what God thinks and nobody knows what God is. God reveals some of God's self to us. In Scripture, he reveals himself as the God who would be known, but not known exhaustively. We are small, and he is huge. We stand before mystery, ultimate mystery, the mystery that lies at the heart of things. If we could comprehend God, we'd have his job. But there's no openings for that, and we would do a lousy job at it anyway. So God is a God of surprises. God's a God of paradox. God can in his enormity love everyone and everything in every imaginable way. And sometimes there's contradictions in our mind because we don't see the big picture. And we have to let God be God. And how do we do that? We do that by allowing God to speak to us through Scripture. If we're out there and spending more time in the comic strips, the Wall Street Journal, the stock reports, or the awful news that we have descending upon us every day, if we spend more time in that than we do reading God's word, then small wonder we live in a depressed and angry world. Because it's only in reading God's word, in reading the Hebrew Bible and reading the New Testament, that we begin to see the bigger picture. And without the bigger picture, holy crow, could you get depressed with the way things are going. But when you see the message that God paints for us in Scripture, we know one thing: God never leaves us, and that God never breaks a promise. God's involved in history, and God ultimately wins. Well, that's good stuff. And he only asks us to do one little thing. He asks us to be faithful to him, in season and out. He asks us to seek his righteousness and his righteousness alone. And that means turning to God and doing the things of God and seeking the things of God and wanting the things of God. And it means not wanting all the empty, useless crap that the world promises us. Who cares? And quite honestly, I don't care if I ever own a Porsche. I don't care if I never am in a financial position to buy my first jet plane or yacht. You know, the world values all that stuff. So I don't need to have a nice suit. What we need to seek is the things. We need to seek kindness. We need to seek justice. We need to understand justice not as the world pitches justice. We need to understand justice as God tells us about what is just. We have to realize that there is an evil force, let's call it Satan, that uses the words and the pitch of the language of God to twist us into knots, because the devil is a great liar. And the devil works through his emissaries. The devil always, almost always, works through surrogates like empire, big political power. Look at the Chinese communist government as an example for that, because the Chi-Coms rule a small group of people, rule a great human body. The Chinese people are wonderful. And by the way, if you're Chinese, Happy New Year. Mm-hmm. It's the year of the tiger. The Chinese are great people. I love them. I almost took a job in Beijing because I wanted to learn Chinese, and there was a church that wanted an English-speaking pastor, so it was either that or Clarkstown, and I was actually very glad I'm here.
Amen.
But the Chinese communist government, this small group of corrupt, evil people, they harvest the organs of their political opponents, sell them on the world market. These people are pure evil. It's Satan working through empire. And we can't... I'm ashamed that we're sending athletes to the Olympics. I'm ashamed of all the products we buy from China. They're pushing these masks on us now, mask mandates. The masks are made in China. We're enriching evil. So let's not forget evil.
Pastor, we are blessed with more callers. Caller number one, good morning. You're on the air with Pastor Rich.
Good morning.
Good morning. Is this Jimmy?
Yeah.
Jimmy, how are you?
I'm okay, thank you. So I was listening to you. I mean, I'm driving at this point back home, and whenever I can, I try to tune to WRCR.
Oh, thank you.
I really enjoy listening to you, okay?
Thank you.
And I'm looking at it not really from a religious point, but a more philosophical point here, and which I think it's important too. You know, you dispense some interesting points here, okay? And I'm a senior at this point, okay? And if I learn something in my life here, is that we are surrounded with false prophets, and I'm using the religious word prophets here, but they were the people that wear different coats, okay,
mm-hmm.
and dispense a lot of false information. And in these days, when you have all this way of communicating, social media, a lot of people are really hooked on it, and all it comes in all kinds of ways and shapes, okay. I mean, we had it before through regular media, and we've been bombarded, and a lot of people come up with, start believing, I guess if you hear it enough, people start believing in it, start saying, well, it must be something true, and I believe that's part of the wrong in this world, because there's a lot of bad information, false information being put on people just because for the simple reason of personal gain here, not good for the community here.
Yeah.
And the last thing I wanted to say here, and maybe I kind of try to open myself to everybody, okay?
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not trying to say, because somebody is old, he must be wise. If he just was born, he doesn't know anything. And I don't take this way, because I believe even a young person may see something that the old person did wrong good part of his life and doesn't realize it. Sometimes it's good to be young and fresh and see something
yep.
that other people don't even realize they're doing all their life because they learn it, they thought it did the right thing. So I always felt it's good to open your eyes and listen to everybody around you. I'm not hung up on age thing here, okay? Maybe that's something I learned all my life. So I was wondering if you have any thoughts about it.
I do, on all sorts of things. On your last point, there was a Norwegian, I think he was Norwegian, poet of sorts, Pete Heim, who wrote little things called Grooks. And one of his grooks goes like this: as you get older, this thought may please. Age doesn't matter unless you're cheese. So, in a way.
I hope I'm not cheesy.
No, well, we're all a little cheesy, right? Yeah. But to your point, yeah, wisdom comes in all sorts of shapes and forms. Children lead us to wisdom by their innocence, for example. Young people, in their freshness, can open us to wisdom as we can open them to wisdom by sharing the best of what we know and the best of who we are. The best wisdom of all is not our ideas, but our life well lived. So thanks for that point. And to your other point about false prophets, one of the techniques of propagandists is called the big lie.
Yeah, exactly.
And the big lie is, if you lie long enough and loud enough, enough people will believe it. It's like, it's taking Lincoln's saying a bit out of context. You can fool some of the people some of the time, and usually that's enough.
Yeah, that's true. And unfortunately, if I just jump in, please, those people come in different forms. That could be elected officials. It could be teachers.
Yeah.
It could be people, clergy.
Yeah.
It could be in any walks of life, people that gain some power for a while, or people that strive to gain power and to achieve their means, they put a lot of harmful information. And many of us don't know better, and sometimes it's just because we didn't experience it, are an easy prey. So I guess the only remedy is really listening to everybody. You know, if somebody is listening to a specific channel or a specific thing, and everybody says, oh, don't listen to the competitive, I would suggest listen to the competitive, okay? At least you get the other side of the story, and this way,
yeah.
And this way you make up your own mind, okay? Don't buy that, don't listen to somebody because they're evil. People say that don't want you to listen to the opposing view, okay?
Yeah.
They want to capture you and have you all for themselves, and I think by itself is wrong.
Which is why we need to be very careful currently when we hear so many voices of the elites saying, take that person's opinions off the internet, off Twitter, off Facebook, cancel them. If they believe this and that, don't let them have a job. We need to listen to all voices. A lot of the things that our society is grappling with right now are very complex and very new, and it's not a time to become doctrinaire.
Yeah, right.
Science does not. For example, I often hear follow the science, follow the science. Science is a method. Science is a method of questioning and research.
Process of elimination.
And it's the process of elimination. Mm-hmm. When we silence respected voices in the scientific community, we are saying we don't trust our ideas enough to let them stand the test of being challenged. And that's frightening, because that is not the freedom that we in America are used to having.
You're right. Unfortunately, this COVID going on here, what is happening, the way it's being presented to the masses.
Yeah.
With all due respect to Dr. Fauci here, okay, he's just one voice here, okay?
Yeah.
He likes to cover himself, and some people around him like to make him the know-all. But the fact is, he's not. He made a lot of mistakes. He keeps changing all the time. And some other in the scientific community actually talking and coming out and saying that some of the information and some of the dogma is very wrong to the American people, to
right.
everybody here, okay? So talking about listening to a false prophet.
Amen. We have another caller, but just one last comment, and that is when the great sin of Israel was idolatry, and we need to follow who's being worshipped. If science is being worshipped, it becomes scientism. It becomes a religion and not a practice of inquiry. If politicians worship an idea, if we're worshipping an ideology, we're not worshipping God. God is the one who gives joy and gives freedom, and we have to pursue our lives focused on His righteousness. And when we do that, we find all freedoms. To explore, to test, and to retain what's good. So thanks, Jimmy, for your call, and I think we have somebody else.
Yes, we're blessed with another caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Pastor Rich.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to wish you a very happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
And I love your show. And
thank you.
Unfortunately, I'm able to listen while I'm working, and I always hope, fingers crossed, that I don't get any phone calls while I'm listening, because I don't want to be interrupted.
Thank you very much.
But I always feel so much more at peace and wonderful after your show. But I would like to ask you a big favor.
Yes.
Would you be able to keep my friend Linda in your prayers? She just got the results of the latest biopsy, and she has stage 4 lung cancer with secondary brain cancer. So she's her and her family and all of our friends are trying to cope with this now. So
well,
if you could just keep her in your prayers.
Tell me your name.
My name is Patty. I'm calling from Pearl River.
Patty from Pearl River. Patty from Pearl River, I have written down Linda's name and her diagnosis or prognosis or whatever gnosis they would call it. And I will keep her in prayer. If she would like to stop by the Clarkstown Reformed Church, I will pray with. I'll pull a little healing prayer team together, and maybe three of us will pray with her.
She lives up in Wallkill, New York.
Okay. If she doesn't want to travel to us, we can travel to her. If she'd like
that. I would definitely mention that to her.
No,
I appreciate that. That's very thoughtful.
Doctors may not make house calls, but heck, I still do. So
that's so sweet.
I'd be happy to go and pray with her, and if it would be okay with her, I'll bring a couple of people with me so that two or three can pray on her behalf. It's James the Apostle who writes in his letter that when someone is sick, you should call upon the elders of the church, and they'll come and they'll anoint you and they'll pray for you, pray for your healing. So I'd be happy to do that.
Oh, thank you. That's very, very kind. I will pass that on to her.
I will also put her on our prayer list in church. We have a little list of people we distribute it every week, and I ask folks in the church to take that list home and pray for folks mm-hmm. every day.
Thank you.
Linda is on the list.
Thank you. I really, really, it means a lot.
Oh, Patty,
because you always make me feel better.
Thank you so much, and God bless you. We'll pray for you too.
Thank you. Keep going with this show. I look forward to it every week, and I'm sure many, many people do.
Thank you, Patty, and God bless you.
Okay. You too. Enjoy the rest of your birthday.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye now.
And if you enjoy the show and can't listen to us from 10 to 11, you can subscribe to our podcast, the Pastor Rich Show, on Spotify or Podomatic or App, what is it, Apple Podcast. Thank you very much. I'm a little
that too.
Yes. That too. So you can subscribe to us. If you subscribe to or if you go listen to us, please subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. Even if you never listen to us, because I'm shamelessly self promoting. And so you can listen not only to our the radio show, which we podcast each week, but also to my sermon. Which we send out on the podcast as well. So,
that's awesome.
Oh, it is, and people who have trouble sleeping, they just listen to my sermon and they're out in minutes. They don't get much before. Please be seated. And they're
out.
I
have trouble sleeping too. But that's awesome. I'm going to have to.
Thank you so much, Patty, for calling.
Thank
for your
you,
friend.
Patty. Do you have a copy of my book?
I do.
A Journey for Okay, because I was going to send
I
you.
I do.
A copy.
I got that right. Yes, I got that. I like one of the first shows that you did, and you were offering it. I did. I called in, and I was able to get one, and I do have it right here.
You know what that means? I have to finish my next one.
There you go. That's
send you
true.
A new one.
You have a mission now. Another mission.
I just got a royalty check for $45, which means I probably sold about 3 copies.
Loop ring.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't spend it all in one place.
I won't. God bless you all. Thanks for listening. Come back next week.
Thank you.
And we'll keep you all in prayer. Bye now.